This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's 85 degrees in Central Virginia. It's Monday, July 13th, 2009. I'm Coy Barefoot. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. Bob Holdsworth is the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. He joins us on Monday afternoons to talk a little Virginia politics. Bob, how are you? How was your weekend?
It was great, Coy. I hope you had a good one as well.
I did indeed, yeah. I found out I'm getting a new dog. My sister's moving to Europe, and looks like I'm going to be the new owner of a one-year-old Chesapeake Bay Retriever named Buddy. So,
well, that's great. If my wife could get one right now, she would as well, I think.
Where should we start? How about the, you posted some news recently, Bob, that independents in Virginia were leaning towards, drumroll please, Bob McDonnell.
That was a very interesting survey that Public Policy came out with. It had McDonnell in the lead over Deeds. I tend not to take those kind of forecasts, if you want to call them that, very seriously. There's certainly more of a snapshot, and we've seen so many elections in Virginia. The Jim Gilmore election, where he won by a landslide after some close early polls. George Allen was way behind Mary C. Terry. He won by a landslide. George Allen was way ahead of Jim Webb. Jim Webb won in the close election. So the forecasts of the polls don't seem to mean too much to me, or the forecasting element to it. But what was important, I thought, in this recent poll was that it had Bob McDonnell running well ahead of Cree Deeds among independents. And what that means is that if McDonnell could keep that in some ways, it would be a very, very competitive election, because a lot of these folks have been turning to the Democrats in recent years. And the notion that their initial inclination is leaning toward Deeds has to be a very hopeful sign for McDonnell.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com, must reading for regular listeners to this program. Or spread the word. Anybody that wants to understand Virginia politics and know what's going on, that is the website, VirginiaTomorrow.com. And the phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you have a question for Bob Holdsworth, pick up the phone, give us a call. Bob, how do you think strategy-wise, what are the Democrats do in Virginia this year? I mean, how does Cree Deeds beat Bob McDonnell? Because I'm one of those people that believes Bob McDonnell's not going to be easy to beat this year.
Well, I think the Democrats believed, at least initially, that there was a pretty sort of evident formula here. And that formula, they felt, was to run on the record of Mark Warner and Tim Kaine, have Deeds run essentially as the first cousin of the last two Democratic governors, perhaps utilize the popularity of Barack Obama nationally, link Bob McDonnell to a lot of unpopular Republicans, particularly national Republicans, and that this election could look a lot like the Kaine and Warner elections. I think there are a couple of complicating factors, however, that have gotten in the way of thinking that that strategy can, you know, sort of be victorious without being modified. On one hand, I think the national scene is a little different. Barack Obama's numbers, particularly his policy numbers, are down fairly significantly in Virginia. So it's not very clear that the national Democratic Party is a great help to the Democratic gubernatorial candidate right now. That indeed what Bob McDonnell seems to be more than willing to do is to try to tie Cree Deeds to every policy passed by Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi up in the Democratic Congress. So that's the first factor. The second factor, Coy, is just the general state of the economy. We saw again last week lots of cuts coming to Virginia state government, which means lots of cuts at Virginia colleges and universities, lots of cuts at Virginia local governments, who get oftentimes nearly 50% of their revenues from the state. And I think there's a pretty deep personal uncertainty about people's individual economic situations right now, in addition to that. And for that reason, I think this is a far more unsettled, uncertain environment than we saw 4 years ago or even 8 years ago.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth. He joins us on Monday afternoons to talk a little Virginia politics. We always look forward to it. Bob, last week we spoke with both Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling, who's running for re-election to that position. We also spoke with Bob McDonnell. He was live in studio for an extended discussion. They both spoke to this new vision that they have for the Lieutenant Governor's office to remake it, which sounded a little bit like Mark Signer, I believe, who was running for the Democratic nomination for Lieutenant Governor. He said, we need a new vision for this position. It shouldn't just be a governor in waiting. They should be charged with a specific duty besides overseeing the Senate. Give us your thoughts about what's happening there.
I wrote about that as well, and I thought that actually that's a very good thing. Signer brought it up first, and he said that the governor should be given the responsibilities of a public advocate. There are a lot of people who think that's a nice idea, but not one that's eminently workable, given what it might require in terms of legal capabilities and the like. But I think overall, the belief that if you're going to elect somebody statewide, they should have a real job that's beyond presiding over the Senate and casting tie votes seems to me to make perfect sense. And the question is, what should that job be? Bob McDonnell says he would make Bill Bowling the chief jobs officer in Virginia. I'm not sure he would do that if Jody Wagner won and Bob McDonnell got the governorship.
Good point.
So, you know, that raises the question about whether or not we also should consider having the governor and lieutenant governor run as a team, maybe. I'm not sure what I feel about that, but that's been suggested also. But it really does seem to me to be pretty much of a waste to have a large statewide election, to have people spending all this time and effort and money to get elected, and then to have a position that's simply a part-time position presiding over the Senate. I think it's really time that Virginia updated and modernized lieutenant governor's role. In maybe 30 states around the nation, they do have some responsibility.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't most other states in America, the lieutenant governor has a real job?
Right, and they often have responsibility that's related
right.
to either economic development or job creation or something that has to do with trying to promote economic progress in the state. So it would seem to me that one of the things that we ought to do is to, you know, develop a study group or a commission to look at this and make some serious recommendations that we can bring before the voters about changing the constitutional role of the lieutenant governor and enhancing it, because there's no reason to have a statewide election unless we're going to do that.
We're talking Virginia politics. It is Monday, and my guest is Bob Holdsworth, the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, we were talking earlier about the public policy poll that was released recently. It also had some numbers about President Obama's favorability ratings declining in Virginia.
Yeah, and I think that's a bit of a shock to Democrats, maybe. But I think it's evident about what's happening nationally. I think there's still a lot of support for Barack Obama personally. I think people really respect the fact that he's energetic, that he really wants to try to do a variety of things to move the economy forward. But what I'm thinking is that there's a growing sense that maybe this is some of the spending being advocated too far, too fast, that there's an argument that's being made on the Democratic side over and over again, I think, that says something to this effect that, you know, we can't solve the economic problem until we solve health care. It's going to cost a lot of money to solve health care, but we better do it. We can't solve the economic problem until we, solve the environmental problem. It's going to cost a lot of money to do that, but we have to do it. And I think what's happening is that to many members of the public, it doesn't quite make sense that we have to solve all those problems right now in order to get the economy moving in the next 6 months, and that we have to spend all that money. So what's happening, I think, is that there's becoming a general pullback, you might say, from some of the spending plans of the Obama administration. And I think that's one of the issues that's going to come forward here in the state in terms of what's happening with the state economy and the state budget. So my sense of all of this is that Barack Obama is still a net plus for the Democrats. He's going to raise a ton of money. He can mobilize the Democratic base better than any politician in America. But at the same time, there's going to be some challenges that Credees is going to have to face because of the policies that are endorsed either by the Obama administration or by the Democratic Congress. And one final complication here is that Tim Kaine, our governor, because he also has another job as head of the DNC, is really almost obligated by that other job to defend every policy of the Obama administration and every piece of legislation that emerges intact from the Congress. And I think the Republicans are going to try to make the Democrats run a little bit against their own party, you might say.
So we will definitely see President Obama on the ground in Virginia saying, hey, y'all get out and support my friend Credees.
I can't imagine that he wouldn't because there's so much at stake. There are only two gubernatorial elections. Obama, you know, one of the challenges facing Deeds is really to energize Democratic voters, is to really get them out and be very active and supportive for Deeds. And there's nobody who does that better than Barack Obama. There's nobody who raises money better than Barack Obama in the whole history of America. So my belief is that the Democrats are going to want to utilize Obama, but at the same time, the fact that the Democrats control both the Congress and the presidency is actually a mixed blessing to Credees.
So we see President Obama in Virginia for Credees, but will we see Sarah Palin in Virginia for Bob McDonnell?
Isn't that a wonderful question? Last week, you know, as soon as Sarah Palin announced that she had a higher calling, people wondered whether that part of that calling was going to be fulfilled here in Virginia, campaigning for Bob McDonnell and Bill Bowling and Ken Cuccinelli. And what was fascinating was how the Republican campaigns responded differently at first to that prospect. Chris LaCivita, who is a very well-known Republican consultant in Virginia and the strategist for Ken Cuccinelli, said, absolutely, bring her here. And when people started talking about her downside, LaCivita, in his own unique style, said, well, that's okay. Just put her next to Nancy Pelosi, and we'll see what people think. Bob McDonnell, however, announced, you know, initially, and they kind of modified this as the week went on, but their initial announcement was that we have no plans at the moment to make any announcement about campaigning with Sarah Palin. By the end of the week, they were saying, well, yes, she would be a positive and the like. And what I began to think is that we may see a visit from Palin. It's likely to be in August and not 2 weeks before the election, however. Because the issue there is that while Palin energizes the Republican base and makes it difficult for someone like McDonnell to blow her off, at the same time, what the polls showed in the presidential election is that she polled very poorly among moderates and independents, the very people that McDonnell at the moment is polling pretty well with.
And he doesn't want to lose those people, and he needs more of them to win.
No, exactly. You know, I've often wondered whether he would have the same style that Doug Wilder had in 89 when Jesse Jackson asked him, you know, Doug, I'll do anything to help you. Just give me the word. And Wilder said, you can do anything you want. You know, Jesse, so long as you don't come to Virginia.
My guest is Bob Holsworth, the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, you were talking earlier about the fact that our governor has two jobs. And you wrote recently of a member of the General Assembly who actually called on him to resign as governor.
Right. What's happening is that there's a lot of pressure being put on the governor for what people are considering a potential conflict of roles, you might say. So on one hand, the Republicans have been on him for a while, and in particular, the state GOP asked the governor to produce the records of how much time he was spending traveling for the DNC. He didn't produce those records, And then the media got into it, and they've been relentless on it. As you know, your local paper, I think today, the Daily Progress,
right.
published a scathing editorial about the governor's unwillingness to provide all the records. But what the governor did say to the Washington Post is that he is spending a day and a half a week on DNC work, so it's not distracting him or deflecting attention from Virginia. He got his BlackBerry on, and he's in constant communication with his aides. But what Tim Hugo, a delegate from Northern Virginia, said is that if a governor is spending a day and a half on another job, you know, what the Charlottesville paper said was turning the full-time job into a part-time job, they said if he's really doing that, Hugo said he should just resign. Now, I have no doubt that the governor will not accede to that request. But what it shows us, I think, Coy, is how intent the Republicans are at keeping this issue front and center until November. And in a way, they've drawn a little blood because the governor was obviously very upset and perturbed with these FOIA requests. He's been trying to explain why he can't give them. And I think the dilemma is that he's brought the media into the fray on the GOP behalf, because they're always going to argue for open government and transparency.
Sure.
And they just tend to believe that the governor's rationale for why he can't provide these, or you might say too clever by half, and that he should just be providing these records.
Wow. So is this going to get, you think that'll get any worse for Tim Kaine, or is it just going to, this is
no,
what it's going to be?
I've been a little surprised that they just haven't done it. You know, if you're going to tell people you're spending a day and a half, why not tell them beforehand where you're going and what you're doing?
Yeah.
It just seems to me this is a kind of a slow drip water torture type of problem that he has. It's not going away because he's managed to, anger and antagonize the media. I spoke with somebody very high up in the Kaine administration the other week, and they said to me this. They said, listen, this is not an issue. They said, when the Washington Post, which they said just keeps running this story over and over, puts it on their blog, there are no comments. The Washington Post are the only people in Virginia who care about it. The dilemma is that that's a pretty big institution to care.
Right, exactly.
If the Washington Post cares, it means that it's going to be, hit over and over again. And it's very clear to me that the reporter who is taking this on her own to really push it forward, Anita Kumar, is going to keep pushing it. And the Post is going to keep pushing it. They even wrote an editorial about it, criticizing the governor and essentially praising Kumar by name.
Wow, gosh.
So this is not going away. And I think, it's gotten under the skin of some of the governor's staff. And ultimately, you're just going to have to make a decision that, it's going to be a lot easier not fighting this thing, I think, than fighting it.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. We talk politics every Monday afternoon. I always look forward to it. Frank, waiting patiently on line two. Frank, you're on with Bob Holsworth. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Holsworth, for being on every week. We certainly enjoy it.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Frank.
This may be more of an economic question, but it's certainly political as well. And I am mostly a Democrat and voted for the current administration. But it seems to me that what we have here is the trickle-down theory under another name. If you give all these trillions of dollars to the Wall Street and the banks, and then the people are supposed to get it somehow from them, what's the difference? And I may be naive, but what's the difference in that and the Reagan trickle-down theory? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Frank, appreciate the call.
Well, Coy, I think, and Frank, what I think the Obama administration is saying is that they're trying to put some money more directly into matters that are going to provide jobs for people, such as a stimulus fund for roads and transportation and all of that. The dilemma is that hasn't been, the job-related part of the stimulus dollars hasn't necessarily been in the first wave. It's going to take quite a bit of time to spend. That rather than sort of trickle down, maybe what this is saying is that it's going to kind of drip through or permeate through the economy. But at the same time, I think there's getting a little impatience and a little frustration the Obama administration is saying that unemployment would have been worse without this, but when people see unemployment nationally at 9.5%, they're not standing in line cheering for how well this stimulus package is working. And that, I think, is Obama's problem, and the Virginia Democrats are hoping it doesn't become their problem.
And here in Charlottesville, our big employer, the University of Virginia, President Castine announced recently that hold on to your seats and get ready for more cuts and serious cuts.
Right, that all the universities have been asked to put forward scenarios for 5, 6, 10, and 15% cuts. These are in addition to the cuts that they have already suffered. And I think what everyone is also wondering is that starting next year, people are going to be concerned about what's going to happen when the stimulus dollars run out.
Yeah,
is that
exactly
going to be, you might say, a cut upon the cut again? So very, very serious things. And one very quick issue here that I'll mention, Coy,
sure,
that I think really looks bad, and that is the closing of these 19 rest stops around the state.
Right. When does that happen?
That's going to happen now, and it's going. And they're saying that it's going to, keeping them open for a little bit, but they're going to close them down. I hope to reopen them by 2011. But that as a perceptual signal of what is happening in Virginia, I think is terrible. And my sense is that of all the places to find to cut, this is really not one of the better ones. And I would not be surprised if some enterprising candidate makes this an issue in the upcoming election.
Save the rest stops.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, when people are driving through Virginia and coming down the highway, when you see these things, you know, cobwebby and closed, it's not going to take long before they don't look good, and they're closed down, and you kids are crying, they got to pee, and, you know, there's nowhere to go. You know,
isn't that the kind of issue that ordinary people and ordinary voters think about?
Yeah.
You know, when they take a look at the state and how it's doing. They can't keep the rest stops open.
Yeah.
I just think of the things to cut. While some people are arguing that this is a low priority, my sense is that it has a perceptual appeal that is going to make it very, very difficult to keep that to have that decision stand.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my sense is that it's going to be very easy for some candidate to get known very, very quickly by saying that they're going to work with the private sector immediately to keep the rest stops open.
Bob Holsworth, the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. He joins us on Monday afternoons. Bob, thank you so much, my friend. Have a great week.
You too, Coy. Always great to be with you. Take care. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.